Chapter 3. There is something strange and disarming about looking at a homicide scene in the bright daylight of the Miami sun. It makes the most grotesque killings look antiseptic, staged, like you're in a new and daring section of Disney World. Dahmerland. Come ride the refrigerator. Please hurl your lunch in the designated containers only. Not that the sight of mutilated bodies anywhere has ever bothered me. Oh, no. Far from it. I do resent the messy ones a little when they are careless with their body fluids. Nasty stuff. Other than that, it seems no worse than looking at spare ribs at the grocery store. But rookies and visitors to crime scenes tend to throw up, and for some reason, they throw up much less here than they do up north. The sun just takes the sting out. It cleans things up, makes them neater. Maybe that's why I love Miami. It's such a neat town. And it was already a beautiful, hot Miami day. Anyone who had worn a suit coat was now looking for a place to hang it. Alas, there was no such place in the grubby little parking lot. There were only 5 or 6 cars in the dumpster. It was shoved over in a corner next to the cafe, backed up against a pink stucco wall topped with barbed wire. The back door to the cafe was there. A sullen young woman moved in and out, doing a brisk business in Cafe Cubano and Pasteles, with the cops and the technicians on the scene. The handful of assorted cops in suits who hang out at homicide scenes, either to be noticed, to apply pressure, or to make sure they know what's going on, now had one more thing to juggle. Coffee, a pastry, a suit coat. The crime lab gang didn't wear suits. Rayon bowling shirts with 2 pockets was more their speed. I was wearing one myself. It repeated a pattern of voodoo drummers and palm trees against a lime green background. Stylish, but practical. I headed for the closest rayon shirt in the knot of people around the body. It belonged to Angel Batista, no relation, as he usually introduced himself. Hi, I'm Angel Batista, no relation. He worked in the medical examiner's office. At the moment, he was squatting beside one of the garbage bags and peering inside it. I joined him. I was anxious to see inside the bag myself. Anything that got a reaction from Deborah was worth a peek. Angel, I said, coming up on his side, what do we have? What do you mean we, white boy? He said. We got no blood with this one. You're out of a job. I heard. I crouched down beside him. Was it done here or just dumped? He shook his head. Hard to say. They empty the dumpster twice a week. This has been here for maybe 2 days. I looked around the parking lot, then over at the moldy facade of the cacique. What about the motel? Angel shrugged. They're still checking, but I don't think they'll find anything. The other times, he just used a handy dumpster. Huh, he said suddenly. What? He used a pencil to peel back the plastic bag. Look at that cut. The end of a disjointed leg stuck out, looking pale and exceptionally dead in the glare of the sun. This piece ended in the ankle, foot neatly lopped off. A small tattoo of a butterfly remained, one wing cut away with the foot. I whistled. It was almost surgical. This guy did very nice work. As good as I could do. Very clean, I said, and it was, even beyond the neatness of the cutting. I had never seen such clean, dry, neat-looking dead flesh. Wonderful. Me cago en diez on nice and clean, he said. It's not finished. I looked past him, staring a little deeper into the bag. Nothing moving in there. It looks pretty final to me, Angel. Look it, he said. He flipped open one of the other bags. This leg, he cuts it in 4 pieces, almost like with a ruler or something, huh? And so this one, and he pointed back to the first ankle that I admired so deeply, this one he cuts in 2 pieces only. How come, huh? I'm sure I don't know, I said. Perhaps Detective LaGuerta will figure it out.